Samahanta Chakkavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakha Mokadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samaha Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samaha Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samaha Sambuddhasa Sisters and brothers in the Dhamma, Sukhi Hontu. Okay, so today I'd like to share with you how to practice, of course, not all foundation of mindfulness. We have four foundations of mindfulness, but because today our time is very short, so I will share with you some important point. Okay, as we know, Satipatthana Sutta, foundations of mindfulness, the importance of practice of foundation of mindfulness is mindfulness itself, right? And mindfulness on what? Satipatthana, let me explain some Pali words for you so that you can get the proper understanding of this practice. Satipatthana. Sati means mindfulness. Patthana means establishment. So, Satipatthana means establishment of mindfulness. Then, on what? On four foundations. That is body, kaya nupasana, satipatthana, contemplation of body. Second, feelings, contemplation on different types of feelings. Number third, citta, mind or mental state. Contemplation on various mental states like anger, jealousy, happiness, greed, slow and topper, restless, fear, anxiety. All states of mind can be contemplated. This is called citta nupassana satipatthana. And the last one, dhamma nupassana, contemplation on dhamma. This cover a wide range, like contemplate on five hindrances that block our way. Hindrances of slow and torpor, ill will, sensual desire, restlessness, and doubt. So when all these five hindrances that arise in your mind, you must contemplate by way of mindfulness. And in Dhamma Nupassana, it includes four noble truths, six bases, seven factors of enlightenment, and so on. So this is the whole aspect of foundation of mindfulness. We call four foundations of mindfulness. So Buddha starts with mindfulness of body, kaya nupassana satipatthana. Why? because body is more gross. You can touch it, you can feel it more easily. Therefore, Buddha start with Kaya Nupassana Satipatthana. So we follow what Buddha taught. We also will start with Kaya Nupassana Satipatthana. However, since our time is very short, only 2 days retreat, so today I will recommend you mixture, one of the mixture way of contemplation. Okay, so as a meditation practitioner, we must have one basic method which we can always fall onto it, which we can always rely on it. Usually we take Anapanasati as our basic. We always fall back to the Anapanasati. However, to practice Anapanasati alone is not enough to cope the stressful life. Right? Life is very stressful for most people. So when life is obsessed with all types of defilement, Anapanasati cannot help you. Therefore, today I will recommend you a mixture way of practice. So let us start with Anapanasati. I guess most of you have practiced Anapanasati before, right? Anyone have no experience of Anapanasati? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, no more than 10. So I will give you some basic instruction first. And for those who you have known, whom you have practiced Anapanasati, you also may hear differently or from different aspects, from different speakers. Okay. So Anapanasati, sati means mindfulness. Mindfulness means awareness, or pay attention, or don't forget. All this is called sati. Aware of anapana. Anapana means breathing in and breathing out. So anapana sati means mindfulness of breathing in and breathing out. It's called anapana sati. There are 4 stages of Anapanasati according to Maha Satipatthana Sutta. According to the Sutta of Foundation of Mindfulness. First, we breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Then you know the breath. You know the breathing. This is the first step. Second step, when breathe in long, you know you are breathing in long. When breathing in out long, you know you are breathing out long. When breathing in short, you know you are breathing in short. When breathing out short, you know you are breathing out short. So what's the difference from the first stage with the second stage? First stage is you just know the breath, not very precisely. Not very thoroughly. But second stage, you know, sometimes it's long, sometimes it is short. In order to know sometimes it is long, sometimes it is short, you need precise mindfulness. Otherwise, your mindfulness is half working, then half going out to somewhere. You are not fully aware of the breath. When you are not fully aware of the breath, you don't understand the breath completely, because half of your mind has gone out, half of your mind stay with the breath. Therefore, you cannot know the breath completely. So, in order to train your mindfulness to be more precise, you must know when it's long, breathe in, when it's long, you must know. When breathe out, when it's short, you must know. But for beginners, first time there are some beginners here, it may be very difficult for you to know. Then you just breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. When thought comes, don't entertain the thought. I always say, when thought comes, it's just a visitor. Thought is just a visitor. You don't entertain coffee to them. Right? If you entertain coffee to the visitor will stay very long because he enjoys. But you allow the visitor come, you don't entertain the thoughts, then the thought will just stop. Then it will go away. Then come back to the breath. So you just mindful, there's a thought. Don't entertain them by chattering with them, by offering them coffee or tea, just knowing they are coming, ignore them. Don't entertain them, and the thought will go away, then you come back to the breath. Okay? For beginners, for advanced meditator, I'm sure you know how to do it. Then, come back, long and short. You know, less long, then short, less long, less short. This is the second stage. And the third stage is knowing the whole breath. Knowing the whole breath body. Okay. So here, I'd like to give you two interpretations. Because you have learned from different teachers. The first interpretation from the commentary of Satipatthana Sutta is whole breath means a whole body of the breath means the breath itself. So while breathing in, there's a starting of the in-breath, there's a middle of the in-breath, and there's the end of the in-breath. So if your mindfulness can follow, there's a beginning of the breath, middle of the in-breath, the end of the in-breath, this is called the whole in breath. And the whole out breath, every breathing out, there's a beginning. That it will reach the middle and it will reach the end. So if your mindfulness can follow beginning, middle, and the end of the in breath is called whole in breath. This according to commentary. However, Some monks do not agree with what the commentary say. Some monks interpret this whole, because Buddha used kaya, sabba kaya. Sabba means all, kaya means body. So some monks, according to what the Buddha say, kaya, using kaya, these words, so the monk say that the whole breathing in, breathing out, aware the whole body. So while you are breathing in, breathing out, you are also aware the whole body. You are aware the whole body, breathe out, aware the whole body. This is the second interpretation. So you may ask, what is my opinion? Right? Since I give you two interpretations, you also may want to know what is my opinion about this. To me, I can tell you I'm not a rigid teacher. Right? So I would like to suggest, if you can follow breathing in beginning, middle, and the end within this area without much tension, without much pressure or tension, you can do it very relaxed, freely, then you should adapt this method, this way. Just hold breath here. But for so many people, just focus here, easily cause tension, pressure, and pain on both temper and heart. The nose become hardened. So if you experience this type of tension, then keeping your attention, awareness in the nose area will become even more difficult for you. Because it causes a lot of tension. How are you going to enjoy your practice? How are you going to make progress? Therefore, as a teacher, I always advise my student, find a way which you feel comfortable, which has no side effect of tension or rigidity on your nose and so on. Otherwise, you are not going to make further progress. If you practice Anapanasati with so much tension on your nose, on your temper, and on your mind. So these are the two alternative, two options that you can choose. And once you, for example, you feel a lot of tension on your nose, then you try breathing in, aware the whole body, breathing out, aware the whole body. Then you feel much relaxed, much more comfortable. Then please adapt this way. Then when it comes to a certain point, when the mind becomes so concentrated without distracting thoughts, then the mind automatically will come back to a small area of the nose. And at this time, then you're just aware of the beginning, middle, and the end around this area. This is more natural. The process comes very naturally, without much tension and stress. Okay. So this is the basic of Anapanasati. However, we are practicing foundations of mindfulness. So if you only keep Anapanasati alone, without care of other things, then this is called Samatha Meditation. It's called only Samatha Meditation, but sometimes there are so many hindrances that arise in between. How are you going to handle? If you do not handle all the hindrances that come in between when you're practicing Anapanasati, then it becomes so difficult to make progress. Therefore, today I would like to introduce you another way which you can incorporate with Anapanasati. Okay, first, when you're breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out for some time, then the mind wander off. When the mind wander off, if you do not know, the mind has wandered off. What does it mean? It means that you have no mindfulness. Right? You have no mindfulness. You don't even know the mind wander off. And if you do not know your mind had wandered off, then what happened to your thoughts? What happened to your thoughts? You will think even more. You may engage in the thought. And if happy thoughts, then you even will smile while practicing Anapanasati. Because you already forget you are practicing Anapanasati. Your mind already go inside the thoughts and enjoy your daydreaming. Right? This is the side effect. We call the effect of not knowing the mind has wandered off. Therefore, to train your mindfulness, when the mind wanders off, you must know. And make a notice. The mind has gone. The mind has gone away. Make a notice. Don't ignore it. Just know, oh, the mind has gone. The moment you have mindfulness, say, the mind has go out. The mind will, that thoughts will stop immediately. But if you don't pay attention to it, not to say not pay attention to it, if you're not mindful, then you carry by the thought for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and sitting there enjoying the thoughts, not even knowing that you are thinking here and there. Therefore, the first step, you should train your mindfulness to aware of that wandering thought. You mentally you say, oh, mind gone off, mind gone away, or wandering thoughts. Just say mentally, then it will stop. If you don't believe it will stop, then you just see whether it stops or not. Then if you see it doesn't stop, another one come, then what, is it the same thoughts or different thoughts? Different thoughts. So it's not the same thoughts. The thought you just aware already ceased. And another thought comes. So to avoid another thought comes, your mindfulness must quick enough to quickly come back. Quickly come back. Otherwise, another thought comes. Another thought comes. So in to prevent another thought comes to disturb you, once you know the thought has gone, quickly, call quickly, awareness must be switched, not blunt. Quickly come back to the breathing. So this is how you train your mindfulness. Okay? Then after that, you breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Then some sensation, for example, itchiness. You feel somewhere very itchy, or nostril here very itchy, or feet somewhere very itchy. Then what should you do? What should you do? Now we are practicing mindfulness. So the moment itchiness comes, a person who has no mindfulness, what is the reaction? Scratch. Scratch it. And when you scratch it, you feel much more comfortable and you enjoy the scratching. And this is called a person without mindfulness. But a person with mindfulness, when itchiness comes, the mind aware, mindful of it. So when talk about mindful, sati, mindfulness, awareness, I want to explain a little bit more. What is this mindfulness? Okay, mindfulness means pay attention. There are many definitions. Pay attention, aware of it, notice it, and remember it, not to forget of it. All that is called mindfulness. And the attitude of mindfulness, definition of mindfulness, and the attitude of the mindfulness is do not react. Do not react to it. Do not react to what you like or dislike. You just keep your mind neutral, stable, whether the object you observe is attractive or not attractive, you do not react to it with liking or disliking. Or another word, no judgmental. No judge, this itchiness so bad, I don't like. Or when the pain arises, if you have no mindfulness, you say, I don't like the pain. Why you come so fast? Can you come after 1 hour or not? This is called reaction of the mind. When you react to the sensation that has arisen in your body, this means you lose mindfulness. You have no more mindfulness. So, after half an hour, the pain arises in you. Then, what should you do? What should you do? Mindful of the pain. Okay. So, when you're mindful of the pain, then after 3 minutes, because it's so painful, then you dislike it. You feel irritated. Then what should you do? The moment you feel irritated of the pain, you lose the pure awareness on the pain already. And you react with irritation. Then what should you do at the time? I think all of you experience that irritation towards the pain, right? Okay. And this is very common for all yogis. However, if you call yourself a yogi, then you must have skillful mind. You should develop the skillful mind to this irritation of the mind towards the pain. Then what should you do? Many of you are advanced meditators. Look at the delusion. Okay, very good. You aware of the irritation. So first, you pay attention on the pain. Pain. How to pay attention to the pain effectively? I will teach you later. But now, because when you look at the pain, then after 3 minutes, your mind feel very irritated because so painful. At that time, you should shift from the kaya nupasana satipatthana to citta nupasana satipatthana. First, okay, anapanasati is called kaya nupasana satipatthana. Then you go to the pain, unpleasant feeling, right? You go to unpleasant feeling, this is called Vedana Nupasana Satipatthana. Then you shift from the contemplation of body to contemplation of feeling. But still, the pain does not subside. Then it causes the mind to become agitated. So at this time, you should shift to Citta Nupasana Satipatthana, contemplation of mind. What type of mind? Agitation. How should you contemplate? How should you aware? You're just aware of it. Mind is agitated. Or mentally you say, agitating mind, or irritating mind. Mentally you say it. Agitation, or agitated mind, or angry mind, again and again. Then after that, you pause a little bit, and check whether the agitation mind still there or not. If it subsides, then congratulations. If it's still there, then what should you do? If the agitation mind under the power of mindfulness, it does not subside. It's still there, remain there. Then what should you do? What should you do? I will teach you tomorrow, not today. Okay? Otherwise, too many things to share. Tomorrow I will teach you what to do. So if it doesn't subside, never mind, come back to the breath. Tomorrow I will teach you what to do systematically. Okay? Okay, now come back to the pain. I don't know how you contemplate the pain, but I have one method which is so effective to contemplate the pain. But to know this method, you must know 4 elements meditation. Four elements meditation is also under contemplation of body. Anapana is one, 4 elements is another one. Usually in my retreat, I'm not going to teach you one method only. One method cannot cope with life, cannot cope with your sitting meditation. So you need to learn few in order to cope it well and in order to become more skillful. Okay. So now, there's a pain come. I don't know how you note the pain. Can one of you share how you note the pain when there's pain? Pain. Okay. When pain come, if I say pain, more painful, I tell you. Definitely more painful. Last time I was learning another method. When I first learned meditation, my teacher also teach me pain. The more I know pain, the more painful, until I look at the pain for 8 hours. Which I think not effective. So I give up that type of noting. I give up that. Then I invent that one which is so skillful and so meaningful and let you see deep, go deep inside. Do you want to learn it? Okay. Listen carefully. Okay. So when a pain comes, put your mind in the pain. Mindful, we call mindfulness. Mindful of the pain, then see. Because the pain is made up by different sensations, the mixture of different sensations. To me, the first thing that strike me is hardness. Very hard, the pain. We call it a lump of stone. Very hard. That causes pain. So instead of looking at pain, I look at the hardness. And hardness is the characteristic of earth element. Right? Earth element has two predominant characteristics. One is hardness, hard, very hard. Another one is roughness, very rough. These are the two main characteristics of earth element. So when I look at it, I feel the hardness. Then mentally I note earth element. Then when I look deeper, it becomes fiery. The pain becomes hot, fiery. Then I don't see pain, I see fire element. That hot is fire element. So mentally I note fire element. And as I go inside again, then this pain pumping or vibrating, pumping. What pumping is wind element. Whatever movement is called wind element. So this pumping, vibrating, then I recognize it as wind element. So when I see it's earth element, then I can see again and again. Become very interesting. That is earth element, then fire element, wind element, then sometimes become so cohesive. Cohesive is water element. So I'm not water element. So in the pain, I discover there are only four elements. Earth element, hardness or roughness. Water element, cohesiveness. Fire element, hot and cold. Then wind element, movement, tingling, pumping, and vibrating and so on. So I keep on seeing earth element, fire element, wind element, water element and so on. Then I lose the perception of pain. To me, I cannot remember pain already. What appears in my mind is only these four elements. And these four elements, what is interesting, more interesting is these four elements keep changing. It's not static. When you look at the pain is like static, right? And lasts very, very long. Pain can last for half an hour, can last the whole sitting. And very boring. If it's just pain, the mind is very, very boring. And mind lose interest in looking on pain. And it becomes unbearable. Therefore, don't look at the concept. Don't look at the concept of pain, which to me is not efficient at all. And also, you do not see pain is made up by ultimate truth of four elements. And why it causes pain? Because of imbalance of the four elements. So if you look at this way,
soon you discover the truth, the ultimate truth. And this ultimate truth, earth element, water element, fire element, and wind element. And these are not permanent. They keep changing. Earth become predominant, and suddenly water become predominant, and suddenly wind become predominant. So it's much more interesting and close to the truth. And you also see impermanence of the four elements rather than just say pain, pain, pain. You know what commentary say? Commentary say when a dog is painful, the dog feels something painful on his leg. Do you know the dog know he is painful? Yes or no? No, right? Animal, he's painful. Of course, you know he's painful. Then since you know it is painful, why should you know pain, pain, pain again to make it more painful? Right? Not necessary. You only know it's painful. That's not necessary to say pain, pain, pain to make it more painful. So, try to apply what I have shared with you for elements meditation. And as you keep on looking at it, finally, the four elements become, you know, first is expanding, become very strong, then become, later become less and less, shrink, then finally all the pain become particles vibrating. Then you let you experience yourself and don't expect to see particles vibrating, okay? Not everybody experience the same. Your level may not reach that yet. So just according to your experience. See it according to your own experience. Okay. So this is how I call mixture way of practice. Because when you practice anapanasati, when it's too much pain, you cannot concentrate. And you force yourself back to the anapanasati, it's called struggling. It's not meditating. It's called struggling. Then, at that time, let go of the anapanasati, go to the pain, and go inside and investigate by way of four elements and see how it changes. Okay? And if the mind gets irritated, if your mind gets irritated, go back to the mental state, which is also one of the foundation of mindfulness. Go back to the mental state and see it mindfully, know it, agitating mind, or just aware of it. Otherwise, you just say agitating mind. When you say agitating mind, you already separate yourself with the anger. So don't say angry. No, you already know you are angry. Don't add fire to the anger by say angry. Just say agitating mind, M-I-N-D, mind. See it as a mental state. Don't see it as yourself. If you see it as my anger, your anger will never come to end. Then you become more angry. So the way you contemplate is very important. Whatever arises, mindfulness, just know it without reacting to it, without bias. Say, I want this, I want that. Without judgmental, say it is good or it is bad. Without attached to something or without push away something. Just like one of my students say that when he practice anapanasati, because he feel much more easy, relaxed, and happy. But when the pain comes, he doesn't like to look at the pain. Because he say very painful, very unpleasant. Then he is, how do you call? He loses his mindfulness because he is choosing what he likes. He tries to push away what he doesn't like. If you do like that, you are enhancing your ego. Right? You are following your ego. Your ego want to do this, then you do this. Your ego don't want to do this, then you don't want to do this. This is not mindfulness. Mindfulness has choiceless. Whatever appears in your mind, whether it's bodily sensation, whether it's feelings, whether it's mental state, at that moment, one of this, bodily sensation, feelings, or mental state become prominent, become very prominent in your mind and body. At this time, you have to be mindful of it. The light has come already. They say anger. Now, the whole thing is anger. So, the mindfulness has to go to this anger. Whether this anger is bad state, you don't say anger is very bad, I don't like it. We call choiceless mindfulness. You don't have choice. You just have to be aware of it. Whether the object is good or bad, doesn't matter. Okay? Okay. So, when a pain, you satisfy it, then you come back to the breath. So, always fall back to your breath. When nothing happens, no predominant object occur in the body, you just go back to the breath, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. Okay. To make your anapanasati successful, there are two things you should bear in mind. Okay. One is you have to practice with relaxed mind. Relax and yet alert. Not relax until fall asleep. Okay? Relax and yet alert. Alert, only then your mindfulness will become sharp. If you are too relaxed, my thought comes also don't know. This is called not alert. So, relax and alert. This is key to success. Another key to success, which has been ignored or neglected by so many yogis, is joy and happiness. Everybody wants to become concentrated, wish my mind to become concentrated. But do you know what is the proximate cause? What is the near cause for concentration to arise? Sukha. We call or pipi sukha. The near cause for concentration to arise is to have joy and happiness. You may say that joy and happiness, after you gain concentration, only you have joy and happiness. Yes, this is called effect. But in order to arouse joy and happiness, you should have in order to go deep into concentration, you should prepare your mind to have joy and happiness first. One of my students who practiced Anapanasati for almost 4 years, but cannot see light, cannot go into deep concentration. So one day, he listened to my talk. Then suddenly he felt that she missed something, which I mentioned in my talk is, you should develop joy and happiness first. Oh, then she reflect her 4 years Anapanasati. Why never go into deep concentration? Because she does not develop this quality of joy and happiness. So she tried. This time now she tried. This retreat, I just finished my retreat in my center. Before she sit, she think of something that can make her happy. Now she said that, oh, I'm able to come here. It's my blessing, you know. I'm able to give up my job to come here. It's my blessing. How happy if my mind just concentrate on the breath. How beautiful is the breath. So she tried whatever means to make her mind happy. So when her mind happy, she feel happiness come already. Then she quickly go back to the breath, and immediately she feel her mind settle down on the breath, and soon the light comes. So this is one thing most yogis or teachers are already neglected. So So if you want to make your anapanasati more successful, you have to try to make your mind happy first before go to the breath. Or while breathing in, breathing out, then you say breathing in, breathing out, happiness. Breathing in, breathing out, enjoyment. Breathing in, breathing out, you know, pleasant. Whatever words can help you to lift up your feeling of lightness and joyful, use it. It's a skillful mean. Okay? This is a very important point, because only few people are successful in Anapanasati. I think most of you struggle a long time already. Still cannot touch the light. But light is not the only criteria to measure your progress. Pity, joy is the criteria to measure your progress, not the light. Okay, although Pao method emphasizes light very strongly, but I have seen other students who achieve jhana without light. So if you don't see light, don't feel hopeless. Okay? Don't feel hopeless. This only Pao method emphasizes on light. And the Buddha's teaching in the sutta, Buddha emphasized a lot on joyful feeling. The joyful feeling go through the whole body. Only then your mind settled down, only then your concentration goes deeply. Okay. So another way to help you to arouse pity is you can try metta meditation first. Loving kindness meditation. Until you have some pity, some joy and happy feeling, then keep up metta, go back to the breathing. This is also another skillful mean that can help you. So, you see, you have learned so many things. One only anapanasati not enough. You have to learn a little bit metta meditation. You must learn, sharpen your mindfulness to see the pain, to see the four elements. You must sharpen your mindfulness to know the thoughts. And you must sharpen your mindfulness to know slow and proper. When slow and proper comes, what should you do? Slow and proper, drowsiness. Drowsiness will come on first day, second day, very common. What should you do? If your mindfulness is sharp enough, okay, let me ask you a question. How you know your mind become drowsy? Dull. Then sometimes the body sway already. You wait until your body sway, only know you are drowsy. That is called sluggish. Very slow. Very sluggish mindfulness. So how you know your mind is in drowsy state? The moment you feel that you are going to lose your object breathing become blur to you. And your mind little bit dull already. Little bit, not too dull, okay? Little bit dull and object become not clear to you. At that time, you should know already. Don't wait until you knock your head or swear your body only know you are drowsy. That is called very, very sluggish mindfulness. You have to train the mindfulness to be very sharp, precise. A little bit you lose object, you know, I'm going to become drowsy already. Then, alert. Put little bit more effort. Put little bit more effort, then see the breath. Or you breathe in little bit more. To let your mind become clear. Only then, you will not be attacked by strong, sloth and proper. All this require precise and alert mindfulness. And remember, mindfulness has no judgmental. Okay? No judgmental, no bias, no preference, no like and dislike. You just see the object as it is. Whether you like it or you don't like it, that is not your business. Mindfulness means just look at it and see what happens. Not to say I don't like this or choose I like this object, I don't like that. No. we practice without liking or disliking, without preference. Whatever arises, whatever becomes prominent in your body and mind, you just watch it objectively. This is called mindfulness, without reaction, without react to it with like or dislike. Okay? Is it clear? So this is a mixture. You start with anapanasati, I think you should start with loving kindness meditation to make your mind happy first. Anapanasati and loving kindness meditation both are concentration meditation. Both can achieve concentration, not necessarily anapanasati. Okay. So you try metta for half an hour also okay. For 1 hour also okay. If you like it, if you feel happiness, go ahead with metta. Then you feel the need to go back to anapanasati. Once you get the pity, joy, happiness, then enough, go back to anapanasati, then mind settle down. Then sometimes when the thought comes, know it. Thought has gone, know it, acknowledge it, then quickly come back. When a sensation comes, when the itchiness comes, don't scratch. Just aware of it, it will go away. If you don't react, just observe it, you will see it go away. Our main practice is to have mindfulness and to see something disappear. They call it impermanent. Now to see something disappear, then somewhere re-arise by way of mindfulness and see something disappear. This is what we want in the practice. Okay? Okay, I think if the way I teach you how to sharpen your mindfulness, you cannot achieve it within such a short period, and when a slow and topper comes, the one of the most effective way is to take deep breath. You breathe in very deeply, breathe in very deeply until you feel so uncomfortable. Pause. Don't breathe out first. Until you cannot stand, then gradually, slowly, breathe out up to the end, pause. When you feel so uncomfortable, breathe in again, then pause, then breathe out, slowly pause for 5 to 10 times. I guarantee you, your slow topper will go away. Okay? Use this method to solve your drowsiness. Okay. Another way is to do standing meditation. Stand up. Stand up and do the anapanasati or aware of whatever sensation that arise in the body. That's also effective way to overcome slow and torpor. Okay. So if there's not enough place for you to do walking, you can do standing meditation, only half an hour. After standing, immediately sit again, can be the mindfulness is more continuous, without breaking, going here and there. Okay, thank you for today's talk. So if you have any question, we have evening section, we have one question and answer. You can ask whatever difficulties you have, then I will give you the answer. Okay, so.